Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Super Bowl commercials are a masterclass in modern storytelling. Huge budgets, high pressure, and zero room for confusion. My next guest knows a little something about being on both sides of the camera. Jeff Rogers went from being on stage at Second City with Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, and Tina Fey, and on TV commercials for major brands like McDonald's, Miller Lite, Ford, and HP, to becoming a best-selling author, award-winning creative executive, and Hall of Fame keynote speaker on innovation, improvisation, and storytelling. His company, Jeff Rogers Unlimited, works with organizations and teams, helping them create big ideas that move people to action. And to break down this year's Super Bowl commercials and what they reveal about attention, emotion, and influence is my good friend, Jeff Rogers. How are you, pal?
I'm super stoked to be here.
Me too, absolutely. You know, this year marks the 59th Super Bowl. Super Bowl One in 1967 aired both on CBS and NBC. I think the prices were different. NBC was $37.5, CBS was $42.5. A few spots made their debut. This year, they're $8 to $10 million. And there's always three questions we always ask when a commercial is produced. Does the ad build the brand? Does the message crush their competitors? And does it engage viewers enough to drive sales, right?
Well, those are what you're looking for, but it's really hard to track those things as well.
Sure.
The big thing is the amount of touches that it makes in the post week, right? On that Monday, which commercial are people talking about? What made the biggest impact? What told the most compelling story? And that's the lens through which everybody measures whether or not it was successful, because it's hard to really translate watching a commercial to going to buy a product. You can do it to a certain extent, but more than that, it's about getting that recognition that the impact that the commercial made. But think about this for one second. How many years have we been doing this?
Oh, it's 12, it's
been
12, 14,
yeah, whatever. Right? Yeah, it's been a number of years.
It's been a long time, yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Think about this for a moment.
Yeah.
We have been talking about, on the radio, the commercials that are on television
before
mm-hmm. they air.
Right.
And so just the idea of that, this really is the Super Bowl of commercials. This is the Super Bowl of storytelling. Does your story make an impact, and do people remember it? And that really is, I think that is measurable, because if we're talking about it years later, we're talking about it the day after, then you've gotten your money's worth.
I've been talking to somebody who is not from this country about how big the Super Bowl is, and the fact that the game is important, but there's two other elements. It's the music, the halftime show, and the commercials. Like, there's really no time to talk. You talk more during the game, because I think more people want to view these commercials, right?
Absolutely. There's people who watch the game just for the commercials.
That's true.
And I know my wife absolutely pays attention to the game. But she will sit there during the commercials and comment on that almost with as much, you know, insight as she does with the game itself. So it very much is it's become this pillar of the day.
Right.
It's the game, it's the entertainment, and it's the commercials. It's all three of those things. And I don't think you see this, the level of this, with World Cup. Any sort of NASCAR, with any other thing that's being watched, nothing compares to this level of storytelling and commercial watching.
But it has been the only event now that I think we watch together. It's changed year after year. You know, the Grammys were earlier this week. Were the ratings huge? They were. The Oscars, maybe other sporting events, but this is really the sole event of the entire year that we are doing communally. We are doing it as a community and watching this across the globe.
And you've got a much bigger vested interest now across the globe. The NFL has been rolling out all the games in Europe.
Yeah.
They're starting to do some in South America as well. So you really are starting to engender this love of the game in these different areas that they're penetrating. And right after that door is opened, the market comes through.
Yeah.
So now that market is available to the advertisers as well. So they're paying very close attention to that.
Well, we've watched Super Bowl games together and we'll watch commercials and we'll talk about that was a really funny one. And then there's been moments that you and I pause and say, what was that brand?
What was that? Not only what was that brand, what were they thinking?
Yeah, yeah. We know we remember the actor. We remember it was funny, but it didn't make that impact. It was funny. We remembered the spot, but not who it was for.
Yeah. Yeah, the classic one, I think, for that is the Darth Vader, the kid Darth Vader one, right? That one's a classic commercial.
Yeah.
It was done incredibly well. Most people couldn't name the car company that made that commercial.
Right.
It was Volkswagen.
It was Volkswagen, because I just did, within the last year, we did a Super Bowl commercial online exhibit for the Museum of Broadcast Communication. So I knew it was Volkswagen, because it was impactful, but in one way, and we talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really the key. That's over the years, I'll tell you, there's the spectacle commercial, right? With the big star doing something you don't expect, and it's captured by this brand. I think the ones we remember are the ones that tell the best story. Now, some of them include a celebrity. Some of them have a celebrity telling that story. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, the ones that we talk about again and again tend to be emotionally based, humorous or any other emotion, but emotionally based and really interesting for their story.
And today what we're going to do after the break is not so much preview the commercials, but we're going to talk about the ones you should look out for. Just because we know what's going on. We've seen a little bit online of some of the teases that are out there. Not as many spots as usual, I think, that are online. The other thing we've talked about is that it costs about $8+ million in some cases for production of the spots. Plus, they said that it's not only $8 million, which is the most expensive Super Bowl commercials have been sold for, but there's some of these spots, because of the length, have been sold for $10 million. So now you're talking a $16, $18, $20 million investment. But those conversations that we have before, during, and after enhance brand awareness, sometimes up to 300 and 400%. So it is worth every dollar.
Well, that's the thing. And you do a great job of identifying, you know, the number of eyeballs.
Oh, I know.
Right. But you're so humble about it. That's the key thing. It's the humility
of
that
course.
Shows through.
Well.
But you do a report on the number of eyeballs watching, right? The the impact that you get from that, the gain of market share that you can get from this. So it really does. It can be a gamble. It is a gamble. There's no doubt about it. And you try and put as much on your side to make it pay off as possible. But I think that if it does pay off, you really can skyrocket your brand, get a significant, warm feeling about that brand that you don't have walking into the Super Bowl.
I remember when the Bears won the Super Bowl 40 years ago, and I was in high school, and I was writing for the Holy Cross Crusader, talking television and so forth, and we were talking about the fact that the ads were $500,000 and how ridiculous that was, that somebody would spend that on a 30-second spot. And I know it's also inflation that goes on in this too. So we talked about the first Super Bowls selling on NBC for $37, but CBS charged $42.5. They had the edge for some reason.
Yeah, sure.
That they charged something different for the same game. 76 was $100,000. As I said, 86, 85 was $500,000. 2006, 2.5. Just 10 years ago, it was $5 million. But now we're talking double that. $10 million to get a spot. But again, it is because of the eyeballs. And the fact is, we are all watching this game.
Yeah, it's become a social phenomenon. It's not on just social media.
Yeah.
But you also have, it plays on social media. And it's repeated again and again. It's shared.
Yeah.
And so it's really not just a one and done scenario for anybody anymore.
Right,
it is, we're going to plaster this all over the place. So if you add those things in, yes, the price is $8 million, $10 million for that. But the company is looking at it as, all right, for our social media spend this year, we're going to do $2 million. $1 million of that is going to go towards the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they take from, Peter to pay Paul on this, but it pays off.
It does. It absolutely does. We're talking to Jeff Rogers, previewing commercials for the big game. And there's more with Jeff right after this on 720 WGN. All right, that was Freebird by Leonard Skinnerd, of course, but it's a big part of this year's Budweiser Clydesdales commercial celebrating the brewery's 150th anniversary. It's a special edition of the Dave Plyer Show tonight. The big game is Sunday. We're talking to Jeff Rogers. His company is JeffRogersUnlimited.com, and we're talking about this year's Super Bowl commercials. NBC, who has the rights to air this year's Super Bowl, sold out of its commercials 5 months ago. So there's, if you snooze, you lose. These advertisers have to start thinking now about next year's Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Right. You got to have a plan for it. And you also have to be able to pivot.
Yeah.
Depending on what's going on and what you want to comment down.
The intention
and,
on the spot. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because things may shift, especially if your brand connects to a certain message. And that message is that's no longer acceptable. That's not, nobody's talking about that anymore. It's okay. What can you do in a short amount of time?
And Budweiser, again, turning 150 this year, the Clydesdales Bud Light has been an integral part of the Super Bowl and its commercials for decades. It always ranks on the top as well. The ad this year is called American Icons. The ad follows a Clydesdale foal that forms a friendship with a young bird. It's a bond that grows between the two over time as Freebird is being played. I'd love to say let's take a listen, but these spots are made for viewing. Like, it won't capture the essence of the spot. And I remember years ago, because of the comedy, we were able to play a little bit above these to play and just preview for people. It's really hard to do these days because it's so visual.
I dare anyone to watch that spot and not feel a sense of nostalgia. About 5 seconds from the end, there's a shot that I think will become iconic.
Yeah, me too.
It really is. Yeah. They do great spots. The stories are always compelling, right? Yeah. They're very nostalgic. They're very, very much pulling at the heartstrings. But man, they
knocked it
really
out.
Killed it this year.
They knocked it out. Bud Light, I did laugh out loud with this one. A keg falls off a dolly at a wedding. Everyone clamors to save it rolling down a hill. It's Peyton Manning. It's Shane Gillis. It's Post Malone with the late Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. It got the point across that everybody loves Bud Light.
So here's a great usage of celebrity.
Yeah.
In a very funny scenario that everybody can, I don't want to say everybody can relate to. Who hasn't chased a keg? Come on, Dave. Remember our keg chasing days?
Yes, of course.
No, but I mean, everybody can have fun with the idea of this. And those Shane Gillis, Post Malone, and Peyton, I mean, they're such disparate celebrities as well who are having a good time with each other.
Yeah.
They're in on the joke. It creates that sort of environment and story that you're absolutely having fun with. And that's a great leverage of everybody's persona in that spot.
Here's a couple other ones I want to mention. Now, Coke versus Pepsi, the battle has been going on for 40 years. You know, who rules the market share, do you think, right now? And I know you know the answer. In 2025, 2026, like right now, like who's the market share king?
I'm going to say Coke.
Absolutely, of course. And it continues to dominate with roughly 19 to 20% market share, while Pepsi has fallen to fourth place to 8% behind Dr. Pepper, which is number two, and Sprite. By the way, where's 7-Up? Have you seen 7-Up on the shelves anywhere?
Yeah, that's
like
good point.
Literally aren't focused on that brand anymore. Like it's just disappeared from the face of the earth.
Wow.
Which I don't understand. But Dr. Pepper right behind Coke. There's a bear doing a taste test. I mean, you know, for younger people, which is, I consider now anyone under 50, they probably never don't know the Coke, that the blind taste tests and stuff that they used to do. It's a bear doing it, which really doesn't prove to me Pepsi's the better brand in any case. There's also a mayonnaise commercial, a Hellman's mayonnaise commercial, which they've been doing some really creative stuff lately.
Yeah, they do a great job with this. It's very interesting that Neil Diamond is having a bit of a resurgence out of the blue with the movie Song Sung Blue.
It's Meal Diamond in this one.
Meal Diamond with
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg doing a really fun impression.
Yeah.
And just, again, tongue-in-cheek, having fun with the whole concept of this, that there's a guy who does this. Super funny. I want to go back to the Pepsi thing just real quick.
Yeah.
I think Pepsi, the one thing they're doing really intelligently is they keep on saying, well, we're the competitor, which keeps them on the level
the underdog,
of Coke, right?
The underdog. Well, a little bit of the underdog.
Yeah, absolutely, the underdog to it. But, I mean, that's who our competitor is. It's Pepsi and Coke. And you just showed it's really not that anymore.
But if you're watching the game and you're a true fan of one of the teams, you're a true fan of one of the teams, I've always approached, and I think millions of other people approach the game is, well, I don't have really investment in any of the team. I'm going to root for the underdog. And maybe that is the philosophy.
That's a too, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I think without a doubt.
Sabrina Carpenter, who's hot right now, literally in many, many ways, doing a Pringles ad. It's interesting. But of course they're going to use her. She's the biggest thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, she's
please Google if you don't know Sabrina Carpenter, who she is.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Very talented singer and
very
performer.
Very much so. Oh, yeah.
But also, great sense of humor.
Very much so.
And she does a lot of her, she curates her personality and her persona on screen and in song really well.
She's funny.
So she's got the smarts of how to do, I swear, because she's in her 20s, right? And so I don't know where she learned it, but she learned the rules of this game early on and she plays it like a pro.
She does. Absolutely. Bosch has an ad with Guy Fieri. I've only seen the preview, but it seems like shaving off the beard, dyeing his hair, looking what Guy Fieri really looks like as a
regular Joe.
Regular guy.
Yeah.
Which looks funny.
It does. We'll see how that plays out. Because Guy Fieri is an acquired taste.
Yes,
so
he is.
You either like him or you don't.
That's very true.
But here's what's a clever thing about that. If you don't like him, seeing him get shaved and forced to act like a regular guy, that can be a little bit of hate watching.
By the way, I will tell you, one of the most philanthropic guys, especially after COVID with restaurants and so forth. I mean, millions upon millions given back to these restaurants that were really struggling. You got to take a look at him a little deeper. Fanatic Sportsbook. Now, I don't know so much about Fanatic Sportsbook, but it's Kendall Jenner. Apparently, the NFL is now available on Fanatic, but it's focusing on her dating life, that she brings basketball players bad luck, but now she's on to the NFL.
Yeah.
Look out for her.
Yeah,
right.
No, she absolutely does. This is science.
Funny. Yes.
This isn't just people think it's so. This is science.
Yeah.
It's actually a good spot for her. I'm not sure how good it will be for them. She comes out of it looking great, that she's got a sense of humor about herself. But I'm not sure it does well for the brand.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Because I think some of these we're waiting to see.
Yeah.
What it does, because we've only seen previews. Mr. Rogers, when you had that children's television show, Jeff.
Yeah,
back in the 70s.
Absolutely. when I was also in my 60s. Yeah.
With Mr. McFeely. Lady Gaga for Rocket Mortgage singing Won't You Be My Neighbor. I think that's going to be a heartstring, obviously.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
She does a great job with it. I actually saw that one, and it is, it's really.
I saw the extended, pre. You saw the whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
all
it really is, it's really impressive.
Other companies to watch include Ritz Crackers with Bowen Yang, Skittles with Elijah Wood, Squarespace with Emma Stone, State Fair, Keegan-Michael Key and Danny McBride saw a little of that. McUltra with Kurt Russell, who's in a new Taylor Sheridan. I love that guy. I love his shows.
Yeah. All of his shows are really good. I don't understand how he keeps coming up with them, but just keep doing it.
And
I don't want to know.
Great actors, too.
Oh,
great actors.
We're doing
in this.
Amazing. Yeah.
Liquid Death has got something. There's a Kellogg's with William Shatner. Will Shat, at which he refers to himself like Will Shat on the car because it's got high fiber. These Kellogg's raisin brands and cereals.
Let's just take one moment and appreciate William Shatner.
He's 90 something. He's mid 90s.
He's been to space. He's actually literally been to space.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. Whatever he does, I'm 100% for
Grubhub, Totino's, Manscaped, and more. Jeff Rogers, JeffRogersUnlimited.com. We'll talk the best Super Bowl spots of all time after the top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Oh, a classic Super Bowl commercial for 1980 would mean Joe Green for Coca-Cola. And you can watch the Museum of Broadcast Communications picks for the top 20 Super Bowl commercials of all time at museum.tv. Save Player and Jeff Rogers hanging out talking about Super Bowl commercials. And right now we're talking about the best Super Bowl commercials of all time. And somebody mentioned Master Lock. Of course, I got three of them in, 773, another 773, and 847 about Mean Joe Green. So there it was. But 79.
Oh, 79.
It was 79, yeah.
I guess he was still on the Steelers in 75.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was an absolute classic. Budweiser always, I think, leads the way in the funny over the years, right?
They've defined it.
Yeah.
I mean, they really defined what the Super Bowl spot using humor is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
The Apple commercial in 84 is a big one, of course, but it's I'm tired of playing it over and over again. The McDonald's Showdown. That was a favorite, I remember, in the 90s with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, right? All about downtown
off
Chicago.
Off the ceiling. Off the Sears Tower.
That was a classic. And then throwing the ball off the Hancock. I think that was the last one, right?
Nothing but net.
There was a Coke Parade Balloons commercial where they were showing fight between Underdog and Stewie from Family Guy. So you got old school, new school, and then there's a Coke bottle, and then Charlie Brown shows up and grabs the drink and goes, it's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Volkswagen The Force, that was a few years ago.
That one was just brilliant.
Right?
That had everything. It had pathos, it had comedy, it had an unexpected ending. I mean, if you want to design a perfect Super Bowl commercial, that would be pretty close to what you should do.
Right? Is there anything like that, and I've got a few more, but for you, is there any that like stick out like, one of my favorites? I mean, still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that VW one is...
That was right?
That's one for me that... It
was when the kid, everything. He thought he had the power. He was dressed up as Darth Vader.
Dressed as Darth Vader, and he's trying to use the Force in all of these different areas of the house, and practicing, and nothing moves, and nothing turns on. He walks outside, and he does it to the car, and all of a sudden it starts up, and it startles him.
Yeah.
And he's so happy and surprised by it. And then they cut to the kitchen where the father has just pointed the automatic start to the car, and he just kind of smiles like...
But you get it. You get what the spot is for. Yep. You get what the intention is, and you remember the brand.
And the magic of the brand.
And the magic of the brand. That's right. Ram Trucks, The Farmer with Paul Harvey. I thought that was one of the cool ones.
Yeah.
I want to play a little bit of that, of Paul Harvey and talking about The Farmer, and that was for Ram Trucks. Snickers, the Betty White, Abe Vigoda, is still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And it's only, I love hearing it because I love Betty and I love Abe at the end, but it was a Snickers spot where it was a kid and you're playing like Betty White out there, but it's actually Betty White. All right, now here is my ultimate favorite, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but the commercial, one of the most surprising was when CBS had the Super Bowl. It was back, might have been late 90s, early 2000s, maybe it was 2000s, and it was David Letterman, Oprah, and Jay Leno.
Oh, yeah.
And it was promoting Letterman, and I remember hearing both sides of the story on how this went is, obviously, rivals. They were friends, and Dave supported Jay all the time on Late Night with David Letterman over the years, and once the Tonight Show takeover happened, I don't think they spoke much at all. And in fact, Dave was, both very bitter about it, but Dave especially.
Yeah, I think this commercial, when they got on set, was the first time.
And maybe the last. Yeah, one of the last. And, Jay came in a side door and they said hello to each other, sat down to the spot. They shook hands again and it was over. There was no deep conversation. It was hello, goodbye, but they were both into it. So it's very quick.
Do you remember the one, it's Halftime in America? Clint Eastwood coming out.
Yeah.
I think it was Chevy or Cadillac.
Was it before or after the Ram truck? I feel like it was before.
I think it was before, but I'm not 100% sure. But him coming out during that time, that garnered a lot of talk and a lot of good press for them as well.